Open the Word of God this
morning. I don't like my notes. I got other stuff tumbling. It's all in the same theme, but I just don't feel settled there. So we're going to just tumble and see where we go. I have some stuff scratched down. We're talking about planting seed. How many know that it is important? Right now, I mean, one of the things that is so amazing to me about this time of the year, I mean, we had a dry spring and summer. When was the last measurable rain here in Chino? Was it that? During the winter, we got a couple of light rains. Somebody said September. I don't know if that's that far off. Depends on where you live. There were some people that didn't get any measurable rain. I know we got one rain that measured about half inch. Nobody else that I talked to got that much rain, but I did at my house. So I don't know what you're doing wrong, if there's sin in your life, but at my house, I got... Shut up, Herb. But it's been a long time, and it's so amazing that now the monsoons are rolling in. How many are enjoying the rain? I hate the humidity, but I'll take the rain. We need it. Somebody was showing me pictures yesterday of beautiful pictures back east of lush trees and grass and green, and they were telling me how wonderful it is, and I'm looking at that going, boy, I love my boulders and my rocks and my junipers, because all that comes with a price. It's called sweat. I spent a number of years in Florida working on ranches there, and we also helped raise up House of Prayer International that's still there in Palm Bay, Melbourne area. And when I first started working there on the ranches, I'll never forget, because it's different. It's subtropical. We're out in some pastures out on the St. John's River. And we're riding side by side, about six of us at a clip, a trot, heading out together. And we're splashing through 6 inches of water. And this is my first week. I was used to cowboying out here. My first week there, and this is many years ago, my first week there, we're splashing through 6 inches of water, and the guy next to me is bemoaning the fact of how dry it is and how that Florida's been in a real dry spell. Of course, you know, inside of just a few months, I changed everything, Mary Lou, to nylon, because everything was getting moldy and rotting, and you learn to change things over. I know most of you don't even know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about nylon, you know, girth straps, and some of you know. And it was comical because I didn't understand that they needed a certain amount of rain for things to function the way they were supposed to, and they were behind. But it sure didn't feel like a drought to me. But at any rate, here, it's been dry, and it amazes me as these monsoons roll in, how that seeds that have laid dormant, I don't know about you, but at my house, it's not that I can't afford. I mean, God does supply all of our needs. I just don't want to afford to water that big property. It's not worth it to me. So the natural grasses that were there, they just kind of recede and go dormant until the rains come. And it's amazing how that they jump out, that grama grass. But then all the little seeds in between those little circular clumps of that native grass that looked like it's dead forever. I mean, it even washed. And yet, in the middle of all of that, with the first couple of rains, these little, tender, beautiful blades, after months of being dormant / dead, are coming to life. Months. And it amazes me how that is, that we take advantage. How many had cereal this morning? How many wished I wouldn't have brought up food at all, and now your stomach is growling? How many had French toast, pancakes, biscuits, yesterday's leftover steak? My wife loves cold pizza for breakfast. She needs delivered. No, I'm kidding. I've learned to love cold pizza for breakfast with coffee. I don't know what the combo is. Do you know that every bit of that comes from somewhere, somehow, seed? the miracle of life is found in the seed. It's hard to believe watching little Malachi run around right now. The beauty of life, the miracle. I can't imagine life pre-Malachi. Not the Bible, my grandson. I can't imagine life. And all of that, incredible, and where his life will go, and where that family will go, Bruce and Rebecca, and all that is there, all from seed. God's prescribed way for the miraculous to sustain us, to move us into the future, all that we are, all that we enjoy, all that we can do in laying down our lives for others, all has to do with seed. It's blessed me the last several weeks, the people that have reminded me of my own messages, and they tell me seed, time, and harvest. In a day and age when everybody's looking for the shortcut, you know, even the church, most of the church is right in full swing with the world, looking for the shortcut. How many are glad that God is faithful to His Word? Don't shout me down. How many are glad that God is faithful to His Word? Now, if you don't know His Word, there's never a better time than today to get started knowing it, because the Word is the seed of God. And the seed is the Word of God. An interesting thought that has occurred to me, I don't know, maybe you've heard this before, but just something I felt like the Holy Spirit dropped into my heart. Hebrews 11, 1 says, now faith is. How many are glad that faith is now? How many of that went just went, phoom. I don't blame you, it has me too. But faith is always now. Faith receives now. Right now. What is already. Whether it's manifested before your eyes, in your body, in your pocketbook, in your direction, in your vision, in your ministry, faith is now. And the Scripture says, now, faith is the substance. Look at your Bibles. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I see a lot of mouths moving. That's exciting because a lot of you are familiar with it. I hope you are. If you're hanging around here. Right there we have a description as close as we can get to something that is not necessarily tangible. It can manifest tangibly, I guess. But really that's a result or a manifestation, a result of. But how many have ever read that verse and even though it blessed you and you kind of caught it most of the way, how many still strain a little bit at? I want you to back up and think about it. Remove your religious layers if you can with me. And that's not condescending. I'm saying we all do that. It's just kind of knee-jerk. And most of us, it's the bent of the flesh. So let's think about it. Now, I love that, faith is the substance. Do you realize how insane that is? Now, faith is the substance. What is substance? If you have nothing in your hand, do you have any substance? Huh? It's something tangible. Now I have substance. The Bible says now faith is the substance of things hoped for. That doesn't make sense. If it's something hoped for, how can it be substance? Come on, Sherry, help me out. appealing to a lady of the word. How's that possible? Well, yeah, that's a good, probably a similar answer. If I was in your shoes and somebody was drilling me like I'm drilling you, I'd probably say that. What else are you going to say? I'm trying to help you see something with me. How is it possible that something hoped for that's not tangible is tangible, and it's called faith, and it's now? What is that? Think about the next part of that. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And it is the evidence of that which is not seen. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Some of you may not have seen this before. Verse 10, we'll just break right in the middle. And God called the dry land earth and gathered together the waters, called he seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit, after his kind, whose seed is in itself, upon the earth. It excites me to read this now. When Dave, was it Dave Larson? I never get his name right. The man who came and shared about creation Sunday morning showed, and I still haven't done justice to a lot of the information that he gave me, but it was fascinating as he led us through the authorship of Scripture and how that as far back as they go, Scripture says of itself and everything that we can find that this first book does not have the signature of Moses, but of God. The ancient books. That's pretty amazing. So I read this with a whole new perspective. Pretty fascinating stuff. I don't have the ability to get into that or explain that. If you weren't here, I see some of you nodding your heads that were here. I probably should attempt to clarify that later, but the signature of God on the book of Genesis, the authorship, his finger, according to Hebrew, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind. And the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Seed. And it wasn't just herbs and trees and plants, but it was human life, animal life, everything. God instituted seed, time, and harvest. The miracle of life. All that God is. In fact, when he was saying this, literally, when he was saying these things, he himself, the sower, Mark chapter 4, the sower, he who was without beginning and without end, the Alpha and the Omega as far as we're concerned, but he is without beginning and without end, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Pretty awesome stuff. In the beginning, John chapter 1 verse 1, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's your Bible. John 14:9, Jesus responding with almost seeming frustration to Philip's question that represented all of them, and saying, Philip said, look, just all of this is confusing. Just show us the Father, and that's good enough for us. And Jesus' response was, how long must I be with you? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Mark chapter 4, the sower sows the word. In the beginning, God set into place. We just read it. move over. I won't take time to go there, but go over to Genesis 5 and you'll see that God speaks to Abraham concerning seed. His own seed. Your seed, Abraham, will be like the sand of the sea, the stars in the sky. What an amazing thing. I'm very glad today that what God does, He's still doing. Hebrews 13:8 declares, some of you ought to be writing these scriptures down. They're important. Hebrews 13:8 says, He is, come on, can you shout it with me today? He is the same. That's a little weak. Let's try it again. Hebrews 13:8. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. He's who He's always been. He's doing all He's ever done. He is still the same. How many are glad for that today? Yeah. Now, you say, well, how in the world do we get over there? What happened to Hebrews 11:1? I want you to think about it now. Now, faith is some kind of substance of things hoped for. There's something really amazing about worship. And I think it's why the devil attacks worship in our personal lives so much. If he can shut your mouth and erode your thankfulness, shut down your praise, he's got your power. You can shout all you want to. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the earth, in the world. That is a fact. But you know what? That doesn't mean that you are releasing that power and causing it to make tangible change in your life. And the enemy knows that if he can shut your mouth, get you unthankful, get you upset, get you looking at people, looking at those around you, looking at your leaders, looking at the world, looking at politics, looking at this, looking at the other, looking at all the things that could be different in your life, in your marriage, in your church, whatever the case may be, get you totally into a tailspin. His whole goal is none of that. I mean, there are casualties in all of that, but his big goal is to shut you up. Lord, I praise you. And I worship you, and I honor you, and I thank you that in the middle of this, you're still worthy of my praise. If I died doing this and don't understand why, even with all I know about your will, about life, I mean, I love Job. His doctrine wasn't right, but his heart was right. Even if you kill me, yet will I serve you. For him, service was the same as worship. How many are glad that's changed? Service is a result of worship. And so, and part and parcel too. At any rate, where was I at? So looking at the way all of this works, I want you to go back now, and there's something there I didn't tie together, but I'm not going to worry about it. It'll come back to me in a minute. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance. So there's something tangible. About faith. That is connected to things hoped for. I want you to put your thinking caps on with me. Do you see where I'm going yet? The devil wants to shut down your worship. Because how many of you have noticed that the times when God has spoken to you the loudest was during worship? How many have ever received in your worship what you would consider at this point, you've not fulfilled it. You may have already made baby steps. You may not have moved towards it at all. But you've got a dream that keeps coming back to you about what it is that God has called you to do in reference to your purpose in God, your calling, His plan for you. And you find yourselves many times in a wrestling match because, well, I have these needs and I have these things and I need to do this and I need to take care of my future and I need to make sure I've got, you know, put things away and I've got to take care of my family. I've got to do all those are noble and good things, but how many know if we're doing that after the arm of the flesh, we're going to get in trouble? Okay? So we have all this wrestling with inside. There is this desire to abandon. Not abandon our family, God forbid. A man who doesn't take care of his family, the Bible says, is worth an infidel. But abandon my way of making all this happen for a dream that God seems to keep dropping down in my heart. I've talked to people, young people, that went on to become great praise and worship leaders. And it happened while they were worshiping that they saw themselves. They got an imagination, an image in their mind, and it wouldn't go away, and they saw themselves. Now listen, they had the necessary ingredients to go along with that. How many know God's not silly? If you can't carry a tune in a bucket, He probably is not calling you to praise and worship. And people can really get turned around. I want this because I want to be seen. And in being seen, I think I really count for the kingdom of God. And there can be great confusion there. But I'm talking about out of a pure heart. And you're seeing certain things taking place in your life and abilities and everything that's taking place. And you say, I have a desire to do this. I know of people that during worship found themselves desiring to pursue the medical field. Say, what's that got to do with it? It has everything to do with it. It's only Christians that have embraced goofy end-time theology that says it's all going to be over within a few months anyway. There's no sense planting seed. There's no sense planning for the future. It's all going to hell in a handbasket. We're not going to be here more than 20 years. We're scaring our young people half to death who'd like to grow up and have kids and get married. And, you know, well, let's go back up. Let's get married and have kids. All right. And scaring them half to death with our goofy end-time theology that's all about it's the end, run for the hills. We take Scripture out of context and talk about running to Judea and Samaria when they're loaded with modern apartments. You're going to hide in Judea and Samaria, people. We got some problems. Now, I'm tapping into something that I have no way to explain, so I'm just going to back off. What I want to say is this. You don't know when He's coming back. We could easily be here another 100 years. And are you about the Father's business in this? Jesus said, occupy until I come. How many know He is coming? How about the rest of y'all? How many know He is coming? He's coming back. And it's not going to be no thief of the night, Tim LaHaye. There won't be clothes, piles of clothes laying around in wrecked airplanes. My Bible says that when He comes, it will be with a shout, the blast of a trumpet, and the King of Glory will descend. Those who are dead in Christ will rise first, and we will be caught up together to meet the groom in the air and to return to planet Earth. A redeemed and a glorified place that shall be forever. Can you say Shundai? You might have just got the Holy Ghost. I don't know. We got enough. Seed. You have a desire for miracles? You have a desire to see things begin to happen in your life? Are you waiting for somebody else to hit you over the head with it? Or are you now saying, I've got a dream. I've got something that keeps coming back. I've got a reoccurring dream. A vision. Listen, if the Holy Spirit's breathing some things in you, no matter how insignificant you may feel in this world, no matter how small and unprepared you think you may be, if you will begin to trust Him and prepare yourself, pursue. I love that. John Harris is not here this morning, so I think I can just talk openly. It was his son that I was talking about over in Havasu City, who doesn't know anything about any of this. 5 years ago, he said, Pastor Lee, he says, my knee is done. It's smashed. They say there's nothing but a replacement. There's nothing that can be done. and I would like for you to pray for my knee. Now, I can't tell you why that doesn't happen every time I pray for somebody's knee, but every time somebody asks me to pray for their knee, I'm going to pray for their knee. They'll lay hands on the sick. 5 years later, I told them, I said, it's no big deal for God. And while I'm saying it, I'm going, you idiot, shut up. It's no big deal for God. He is the healer. He put all this together. And I said, we'll pray for it, because he had a baby he wanted to pray for. And he said, I said, we'll pray for your knee. And I said, here's what the word says. I laid it out, and he goes, okay. He wasn't predisposed to any confusion, nothing. He just, like a baby, he just said, okay. So I prayed for him, and he said, okay. And I said, so, how's your knee? He says, it's good. And that's it. 5 years later, he's telling me with tears in his eyes, you know, ever since that day, not only has my knee been perfect, but God has begun to move in my life. A few things that were said, everything has opened up and begun to blossom. And he said, my relationship with the Father today, and he's sitting there, a guy that was rough, backslidden, struggling, now on fire for Jesus 5 years later, and I didn't know a thing about it. Some of you are whining about seed you've sown and you don't see anything yet. Watch that stuff. It's dangerous. You sow seed with confidence that God's word does not return void. There's no more special anointing on me than there is on you, according to 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 and verse 27. The healer's alive on the inside of you. Are you here today? But what are we individually sowing? Do we feel that God is leading us in that direction? When you go over and you look at Romans 12, it's different, speaking of giftings, than 1 Corinthians 12 that I mentioned a couple of weeks ago. It names things in there, not just tongues and prophecy and not just, you know, miracles or faith, but in the middle of that mix is stuff like the gift to administrate. Put things in order. The gift to help. It literally says helps. Right down in the middle of all this miraculous is something even more miraculous called helps. Now, we have leaders that have abused, and we have followers who have willingly submitted to that abuse and then blamed the leader for the abuse and call that which is good evil now, but it hasn't changed. Seeds sown in faithfulness produce miracles still. I'm not gonna be able to produce in you what you're not willing to open up your heart and allow seed to be planted to be produced for yourself. Many times we see stuff that happens like that, and more often than not, I'll find out that seed was planted long before I got there. I just got to pick the fruit. I was about ready to fall anyway. When I was younger, I thought I was pretty awesome. Then I tried a few on my own. My dad tells a hilarious story. He loves to tell this in Honduras, how that they were in the middle of a huge meeting, huge tent set up, expensive equipment all around, and there was a hurricane that was coming off the coast, and I mean, there was just no way out of this deal. He said all of a sudden something rose up on the inside of him, and he says, come here, people. We got a hold of the whole team. They were setting up. People were beginning to come in by the droves, and this storm was threatening, and he said it was bad. And he said, we all joined hands, and he said, I pointed at the heavens, and I said, in Jesus' name, you stop until this is over, in so many words. For the entire length of the meeting, it completely stopped. Now, I witnessed this one other time as a boy in Guatemala. I literally saw, you can call me crazy, I was there, 17 years of age. My first message was in that tent. This is in Guatemala. I watched during major hurricanes that are still documented. I watched over the area, a little place called Armenia, Guatemala, open up like the hole in a donut and stay that way for 3 days until we packed up as the rain started. Okay, so I've watched my dad. So my dad did this. He tells a story. And he said, man, they had a powerful meeting. Well, a few months later, they're in a similar situation. And he said, well, we'll just do it again. He said, man, the tent filled up and ripped down the middle. He said a bunch of their equipment got wet and got ruined. They had to run for their lives. There's a fine line in there between flesh and being led of the Spirit. And thank God for miracles, right? But more often than not, you'll find out that seeds have been sown some way. Jesus says in Mark 4, he says, the sower sows the word. Everywhere he went, he did miracles first, and then he talked about it. No. He preached, and he preached, and he preached, and he taught, and he taught, and he preached, and they marveled at the word, and he preached, and they began to trickle to him. It says that he healed all who came to him. Didn't say he healed all. It says he healed all who came to him as a result. That's something. So individually, you got a dream, you got something God's calling you to do, you got a desire. It doesn't have to be some great international ministry. In fact, I hope in most cases it's not. We need salt in the earth. You want to know something? My Bible says those big boys, the biggest, the ones that are up there that we all admire and call heroes, the Bible says that the first shall be last, the greatest shall be least. What are you looking at? Honor. Give honor. Well, honor's due, Scripture says. But be careful who you get your eyes on and what you consider great. The greatest missionary who ever lived, the Apostle Paul, when he was struck down and blind, God was getting ready to say some big things to Paul. He had been a man who, describing his own self in Philippians 3, was a Jew of the first order. And he said, and concerning the law, I was perfect. Have you ever heard anybody else say that? I believe that he was. I think exterior, exactly what he said. But he now had a revelation of Jesus, and that's why he said, I consider all that, my past failures and successes, I count it all. He was speaking of successes here as a pile of poo-poo. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. We read King James, dung. That sounds so spiritual. Not to me. I know what dung is. Worked around dung all my life. Nothing spiritual about it. It's poo-poo. Ask Tom and Sherry. They get plenty of blown over into their yard for my horses. God help us. Okay, so at any rate, he counted all of that as nothing save for Jesus. And then he named something really interesting. He's the only one that I know of in Scripture that calls this righteousness, righteousness of faith. Faith, righteousness. Not of works, not of accomplishments, but faith, righteousness. Greatest missionary ever lived. Wrote most of our New Testament. And yet, it was a nobody named Ananias. Never heard of him before, never heard of him after. How do you see yourself? Remember last week, Exodus 5, Moses standing before God after this dramatic experience of speaking through a burning bush and all these other things. He says, who am I and what do I have? I'm nobody. And God says, what do you have in your hand? I want to ask you this morning, what do you have in your heart? Are you sowing in the direction of the leading of the Holy Spirit? I'm very glad today for the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Oh, man. Ananias certainly was not a nobody to God. I kind of wonder if anybody else would have gone, because even Ananias said, oh, wait a minute, Lord, you know who he is? Are you aware of who this dude is? He's a gangster. God says, don't worry about it. There's some things I need to tell you, and there's some things I need to say to Saul. Pre-name change. Pre-everything change. He says, don't be afraid. Just go do what I tell you to do. He laid hands on him. The scales fell from his eyes. And a man emerged who did more. It's incredible. If you ever read the travels of Paul, today most of our preaching is somewhere tied with words, inspired words, supernaturally preserved from a guy named Paul. He is not deity. He is not God. He is not equal with Jesus. But God used a hairy-legged man. Called him. Put a seed in his heart. A guy named Ananias, a nobody. Do you know why God could pull a guy like Ananias? We don't have this in Scripture anywhere, but I promise you when you get to heaven and you all this is opened up, you will know that Ananias had allowed the right kind of seed. He knew he was called for a purpose. I guarantee you. He knew God had a plan for him. He was in prayer. He was seeking God. He was planting seed. He was ready. And when God says, you go, the only thing he said was, wait a minute. Now, you remember who this is. That's how we know that's perfectly natural. But when God says, no, just go. I prepared the way. How many saw any hesitation at all? He just went. We're always looking at all the big stuff. Your obedience in one area can change somebody's world or the world, depending, and it's all based on seed. Isn't that beautiful? Could I just encourage you in a few scriptures? These are well-known scriptures. The sower sows the word. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Excuse me, 1 Peter chapter 1. You getting anything out of this? Yes. Don't worry, I haven't forgotten Hebrews 11:1. Some of you got it. 1 Peter. Let's start with verse 21. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead, speaking of Jesus, and gave him glory that your faith and hope might be in God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Verse 21. Who by him, let's read it again, who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead, raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfaith love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. How many problems would be erased if we'd just be obedient there? But that's not what we're preaching about today. Verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. Woo! How many are glad this is not corruptible seed? You ever had a computer that got corrupted? It means the wrong information got in there and the thing quit working. Right. Maybe it ruined it. Corruption. Being born, again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. What is so amazing about diamonds? or pure gold? Why Scripture reference diamonds? It likens it to the ways of God, to God Himself, to His Word. Gold talks about us being purified, God's work and place in our life finally culminating in His perfect redemption. This is just practice for the real deal. This isn't nearly as real as what we're going to. That's Bible. Gold. Why? These are things that are referred to. The reason they're so valuable, the reason they're, is they are what? To a degree. I mean, in an earthly sense, not in a perfect analogy, but that's why they're so valuable. How many of you ladies can tell a zirconium from a real diamond? Especially after 5 or 10 years of use. Why? One is still exactly like it was. Right? It handles the nicks and the smacks and the attempts to scratch it. And the other one starts getting a little cloudy. Your husband was cheap. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. That's terrible. Okay, let's move along. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. Incorruptible seed by the Word of God. Seed that is not capable of corruption. I want you to just encourage yourself in the Lord right now. If you have believed in your heart, this is not an event. This is not a do. This is a receive. If you're wondering about whether you want to really commit to this thing, but you've already believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that He was raised from the dead, too late. You may as well just swing the other leg up on the pedal and start pedaling. You're born again. Probably why you're here. Just go with it. Incorruptible seed by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Incorruptible seed. Hebrews 11:1. You got a hold of it yet? Now, faith is something tangible, the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence. I think it's personally, you can do with this what you want to me it's as clear as can be, the evidence of things unseen. Scientists to date do not understand why a seed dies and what gives it life. Especially if they don't believe in God. If they believe in God, they do understand. Only God gives life. All life comes from God. They have no way, I mean, with all of our technology, man has, is, and will forever fail at producing life. They can put the exact components chemically, put it together exactly. Put it in the ground and it will not die and come back to life. Life comes from God. I want to tell you, I want you to encourage yourself in the Lord today. If you're born again, the Bible says that the seed of God's Word in you is incorruptible and abideth forever. You ought to take some hope in that and start acting and moving like that's true. How many are glad for that today? Three of you. How many are glad for that today? The incorruptible seed of God's Word. Now faith is the substance. I want to propose to you today, the Word of God is the seed. Seed is the Word of God. It's only faith in this seed. Get the right one here. In this seed that moves mountains, that can drive out blood disease, more, save me from death 3 times. What's your story? the Word of God. I want to propose to you, I don't have a lot that I can point to prove, so I'm not going to argue with it, I'm not going to write a book about it, but I want you to think about something. When I hold a seed in my hand, I have in my hand the substance. A farmer holds a seed in his hand. He has the substance of things hoped for. Now, the devil's tried every way he can to circumvent that and give us shortcuts and give us all kinds of ways around. But God's first and foremost primary way for the believer to live is when we humble ourselves and begin to see what God says about our situation or whatever He has called us to. We take the effort to begin to look through the Word of God and begin to pull seed and begin to say, I'm putting this out there. Daily. It's been months that seed laid there and my yard looked dead. Walk with me out there now. These little beautiful, they're everywhere. Little teeny precious shoots that I'll be mowing to my chagrin here in just a short while. Beautiful thing. How much greater is the seed of God's Word? Are you a hearer? Or are you a hearer? And being a true hearer, are we a doer of the Word? James chapter 1 says that we need to be doers and not hearers only. That when we are hearers only and not doers of the work, we deceive ourselves. Oh, everybody wants to blame everything on the devil. Most of our problem is not the devil. We deceive ourselves. Now, he talks about what the doing is. It's not you doing works. Same theme, same everything. You'll find all this in James chapter 1. He says, that man is like someone who looks in a mirror, they observe themselves, walk away, and they forget what they look like, who they are. He says, don't do that. Look into, he's still using the same theme, the same context, the same everything. He speaks of a new mirror. Can you turn to your neighbor and tap him, say there's a new mirror? He speaks of a new mirror. It's called the perfect law of liberty. Paul was speaking of that in Romans 8 chapter 2 when he says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free. Romans chapter 8 verse 2, if you're taking notes. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has, past tense, set me free from the law of sin and death. I can't wait to preach on grace again. We're almost there. But what good will grace do if you don't have anything to do with it? That's why we're taking time on seed, time, and harvest. So he says, look into the perfect law of liberty. What's he saying? He's saying, because of the new covenant, you need to see yourself, the new you that can only be seen through the seed of God's Word. And as a result of this, you'll not be deceived. How many know right believing produces right living? What right doing could never do, right believing will cause you to do more by accident than you ever did on purpose for God. How many love Jesus this morning? Don't you love this topic? So, as I'm talking to you this morning, please don't take it like this. I'm talking to me, all of us. It's something we'll always do. As God moves you in a new direction, find the seed and put it to work. Couples, Jesus gave you a promise, and this is for any two, but I'm speaking right now specifically to couples. He said, if any two of you should agree concerning a matter, that's seed being sown. If you'll take that and realize what is being said there, find somebody to get in agreement with. If you're not married, find somebody who you can stand in faith with, who knows how to... Listen, when my wife, you've heard me talk about her being healed of cancer. They were sure it was through her eyeball and in her brain. They were already telling, I'm sorry, Mr. Shaw, you have such a beautiful family. This is where they were telling me. What they were telling me. Where they had already relegated me to. Agreement was huge in that hour. Because there were times when I didn't feel strong. And buddy, she was strong. And then when she was struggling, I could say, honey, remember what the Lord told you. Find somebody that can stand. During that time, you want to know something else I did? This was not out of pride. And I don't even necessarily encourage it. I just knew that in my case, it was important. I'm just going to leave that where it's at. You do with it what you want to. But in my case, I was not going to let anybody know. It was serious enough that I was not going to let anybody know who I knew their response would be fear and wonder. I got a hold of about four key pastors. We knew Brother Osteen at that time, John and Doty, personally. Got involved and believed God with us in that instant. Doty wrote a handwritten letter encouraging Jackie. Pretty amazing. We got a hold of a few individuals who we know would stand with us. You know, even Jesus did this. There was an instance where there was so much unbelief and murmuring. He did something that's very politically incorrect. It's not seeker-friendly at all. It would offend most Spirit-filled believers, but he said, all of you, get out of here. You're not in faith. You're in fear. God's getting ready to do something, but I can't do it with all this in here. The man can't and won't do it with all this in here. That's why I think it's important for us to begin to develop in ourselves and then with one another and right here in Chino, a culture of faith. Now, do you get it? Now, faith is something of substance that brings, a farmer holds a seed in his hand, and he knows if I plant this seed, Adude and Sons, Cocoa Ranch, Central Florida, knew that if they sent off four Lassiter bulls, every year for the new seed crop, that we'd turn that herd from a typical Florida herd that hit the medium rung on the market, and little by little, over time and years as seed was sown, they would come up with what now is known as premium beef in the state of Florida and recognized in our feed yards in the Midwest. There was something hoped for. The farmer has a grain of corn or a grain of wheat. Jesus says, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, what's he saying? He's not saying, you know, it's got, you know, so many fractions of an ounce versus a mountain. He's saying, you plant seed. It ain't just one little seed anymore. Something happens in the unseen. Life begins to open up and take place, and that thing begins to grow and cause that to be no big deal. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say in this mountain, this is after they couldn't cast out a devil. And Jesus said, listen guys, here's the way it works. By the way, fasting in that scripture is not found in the originals. I'm not saying don't fast. I'm saying if you got a demon in front of you, Just tell them to go. I don't know who put it in there, but it doesn't belong. Jesus said, tell them to leave. You'll see it in italics in many translations because it's not there. Did I say don't fast if the Lord leads you to cut some things out to hear clear from me? That's between you and the Lord. By the way, it's really between you and the Lord. Don't tell a soul or you've lost it all. It's the same as giving. Keep it to yourself. I get such a kick out of these great preachers that just love to glory and they're skinny. You know, just wear the biggest, sackiest. I've seen this stuff for real in Pentecostal movement. Just the biggest, sackiest clothing they could find to make them just look really wasted away and hollow-cheeked. And they're just in a 40-day fast. We're going to make God do something. No, you're not. No, you're not. Now, sometimes stuff happens. You know why? Because in the middle of all that confusion, their heart got right and God honored faith. He didn't honor all that. That's for you, not for God. But when you're dealing with the devil, I'm way off subject right now. Just tell him to go. I don't care if you're 3 minutes in the Lord or 30 years in the Lord. Open your mouth as a son of the Most High God and say, get out of here and get out of here again. And by the way, if you didn't hear me the first time, leave. Right? Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'll say and it'll go. Seed. But somewhere along the line, we've got to quit the yes, but, and then relaying our experience and saying, I had this experience, or 3 of them, so therefore the Word must not say that. What you're really saying is, because I went through this, this isn't true. That's what you're really saying. Let's just rip it off. That's what we're saying. But how many know the Word of God is incorruptible? It is the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. I'm very glad for the Word of God today. So when I have great and exceeding precious promises that in Him are yes and amen, I want to encourage you to see next week we've got the brother from Serbia. By the way, people, without hurting our own self financially here, would each of you consider, let's be a blessing to that guy. Let's bless him. A few weeks later, we're going to have missionaries in from Guatemala, Kim Zirk and her husband, first time. They've been here before, but they didn't have the service. It's an opportunity for you financially to put some of this to work. And recognize these are people in places of the world where we don't have the abundance of the gospel. They don't have the abundance of the gospel like we do here. And it'll be an opportunity for us to be a blessing. Stretch our faith a little beyond our ability and still take care of our own. Can we do that? That was pretty weak. You're scaring me. Can we do that? Would you prayerfully consider that? Without sacrificing what we do to take care of things here. Amen. And how many know God honors that? We'll get into that a little later. I've stayed off money on purpose for weeks, and I've got some more things that I've got to say because everybody thinks every time you talk about sowing and reaping, you're talking about money. And I want you to see that although it's a big deal, Jesus said where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We get the heart right, that won't be an issue. Amen. I said we get a heart right, that won't. I'm not talking about your spirit man that's perfect and pure and righteous and beloved and just like Jesus. I'm talking about the part of you that's being renewed together with me. We're being renewed by the Word of God. I'm very glad for that. So the best place to invest is the kingdom of God. Amen. And we'll talk more about that later. Turn with me, and I've got to find somewhere to shut this down. Hey, it's only 11:25. We've done pretty good today. Are you receiving this? Are you seeing this? Yes. Now faith is. That means that God still, in reference to one of the greatest faith verses in Scripture, is still saying, John Osteen used to put it this way. He actually wrote a book. John. Joel's daddy. I've got it at home. I love it. It's called You've Got a Miracle in Your Mouth. Oh, is it good? I used to love to watch that little 5'7", 5'8" man roar like a lion in the old tabernacle. sat a, you know, a little old group of 8,000 with a 2,000 overflow. And yet it was so neat because it, as a big church, it never felt big. I don't know if anybody in here has ever been there, but you could walk in there on their little 4,000 people midweek service and you felt like you were in a little church. People saw you from the bookstore to the bathrooms. Isn't that a great goal? Isn't that a great vision? Could we use something like that in our area that fits our population? You betcha we could. Absolutely. Turn with me to some of you, the minute I say this, you'll start quoting it. Some of you Bible thumpers. Isaiah 55:11. Don't let me down. Isaiah, let's go there. Isaiah 55:11. There was a lot more I wanted to say, but I feel like I've said what I need to say. This is a good quitting place. Amen? We'll dismiss and go home. You need prayer, we're going to stay here and pray with you. This is a great time to sow seed. Don't go home in pain. Let us lay hands on you. Let us call the miraculous. I want you helping me this morning, Darlene. Even if you're not on the team, I want you helping me up here. All right? I mean, for this morning. You and your hubby. All right? Some others. Don't leave in pain. Don't leave confused. Let's put the Word of God to the test. When do we start? Now, faith is. How many are seeing that seed? How many remember when you first heard the gospel? It might have made you mad. It might have made you glad. But you remember the first time because it had an effect on you. And Romans 10:17 came into play, a miraculous advent of the workings of God in your heart and mind. For faith to believe in the Son comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That also is the way we live now as believers, as we move into victory, the victorious, and the supernatural. How many know the believers are called to supernatural? How many in here believe that you're a new creation? That there's a brand new. So you're either a nut who needs a psychologist to help you figure some things out, or too late, you believe in the supernatural. And we're called to live that way because of Jesus, okay? Isaiah 55:11, seed. We'll talk a little bit more about that next week. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And that seed is also the evidence of what can't be seen. And the result of that is supernatural life that takes place in the unseen, but produces for the abundance of all. Whether it is physical needs, whether it is financial needs, whether it is mental, emotional needs, whether it is needs in reference to a calling, a ministry, a direction, a marriage, a wayward child, whatever it is, the primary way, it never fails. Look at Isaiah 55. I'll get there in a minute. I tried twice. Here goes three. Let's see if we can make it. 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. Everybody in here, I want to challenge you lovingly. Everybody in here should have jerked when you heard Isaiah 55:11 and been aware of this verse if you call yourself a faith-believing Christian. So I want to challenge you. Know the word. That seed. I'm not fussing at you, I promise. But I'm challenging you. Isaiah 55:11. Now, I'm one of those, so don't feel bad. I'm one of those that if somebody walks up to me and they go like this, or if they go,
Lee right now. 1 is 2 plus 2. It's four.
Everybody, how many of certain people lock up? I mean, the most simplest things you can lock up. So I get that. But after you sit a little while, 5511 from now on ought to mean something really big to you. And here's what God says. Every promise in here, God has said over it, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Do you feel your spirit man doing somersaults right now? Come on, people. Think about it. How many are glad for the substance? Come on, are you here today? Of things hoped for, the evidence of the unseen. This will work with your pocketbook. This will work with your body. This will work with the salvation of your loved ones. This will work with your desire and heart for ministry. This will work in your career as a businessman. This will work in your life as a nurse in a hospital or a grade above, because there's something about that lady. Every time she comes in the room, I feel like, this is a literal testimony, I feel like somebody turned the lights on. I'm very glad for the seed of God's word today. Praise the Lord. Perfect time to stop. Would you stand together? Have you been blessed this morning? Yeah. Oh man, I have. Now, if I could take our discussion of several months ago and tie, how many in here learned for the first time ever what confession really was? What confession really was? That it wasn't confessing of sin, but it was speaking and agreeing with God's word with your mouth. Do you know that that is the greatest? That's where we start. When we speak the word of God in reference, we find seed and we sow seed. That's where we start. That's where God started. He said, let there be, and there was. Let there be, and there was. Do you know that He's given us the ability to do just that? And yet many believers in this day and age are in danger of saying, oh, we've heard all that, we've seen all that. You know, we tried it once and it didn't work. The reason I'm taking this time is to show you in Scripture, God's plan for the believer is still primarily seed, time, and harvest. Thank God for miracles. You're going to see more as a result of a culture of faith. But right here, where are we at? Where are you at individually? Where am I at, Mr. Leaford? What are we doing? Aren't you glad this morning for the seed of God's word that it does not return void, but it will accomplish that which He has sent it to, cause it to prosper and take place? Right now, all over the room, would you lift your hands together? There's many things, I'm sure, that you could come up with. But right now, number one on your list instantly, a need, a direction, a desire. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You that the wisdom of God overshadows this place this morning. Father God, a flow, a supernatural working by the Holy Ghost, even as we're speaking now. Father, I thank You right now that in that thing, that confidence deep is calling to deep, and confidence is rising as we begin to couple a promise from You, a seed, together with that. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, today, Father, we're reminded of Mark 11:24. You said, therefore I say unto you, when you pray, come on, whatsoever thing. things you desire. Do you have some desires in here this morning? Whatsoever. Jesus is talking to you. The seed of God, giving you the seed for your heart, says to you now. Come on. Right here, right now. Right now, right now. Listen, wake up. Let's lay hold on some things here. Let's lay hold on some things here. He says, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. That's Jesus talking in the now of Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Right now, Father, come on, open up your mouth all over the room. I call that thing into existence. I call that thing into the tangible. I call that loved one into a relationship with Jesus. I call that thing that has come against me to naught. I speak to roots that don't belong. I command them to wither and die. I speak to that which has risen above me, and I tell you to get down, lay down, and get gone in Jesus' name. Come on, all over the room. I want to hear some people lifting your voices. Let's do some seed sowing this morning. Say with me, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. This is the gospel. Oh, come on. Are you here this morning? Jesus, we thank you. Hallelujah. You gave me the ability to sow words. Now I see that thing growing. I'm not going to run tomorrow or next week or next month and dig it up to see if it's working. I know that your word does not. Come on, shout it all over this room. Say with me, I know. Come on, let this be our confession. I know that I know. Come on, trumpet it out. I know that your word for me does not return void. Ha ha ha. About three of you got it. Come on. All over the room this morning. Come on. Great, 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 great faith. Great expectation. I know. Shout it out. I know that your word for me does not return void. Hallelujah. So I take it. I release it. Amen. Ooh, hallelujah. Somebody in here, why are you hating that person for? Let it go. Turn it loose. It's not hurting them anyway. It's like punishing yourself for what they did. Turn it loose. Let go. Let God. Come on, God. We thank you this morning. We thank you. We honor you. We love you for all that you are. We receive your goodness. We receive your word. The seed that is incorruptible and abideth forever. In Jesus' name, everybody shouted, amen. How many of you